from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and as part of bringing more awareness to our community, we're taking a few minutes each week to focus on an important work that's being done to help ensure healthy outcomes for Idaho kids. So today, we're joined by Amanda Mills, the Strengthening Family Specialist with the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children, and Nicole Kreiner, the group's Marketing and Communication Director. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you so much.
So, Nicole, let me begin with you. For folks who may not be very familiar, can you just tell us a little bit about your organization, the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children?
Of course, absolutely. So the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children, Idaho AEYC, supports early learning professionals, families with young children, and communities across the state of Idaho in early education and early care opportunities. We host programs like Idaho STARS, which supports early education professionals and licensing, as well as Ready for Kindergarten, which is a free program for families to learn about how to play with purpose, as well as Strengthening Families and Hope, which Amanda will talk about in a little bit, and our Early Learning Collaboratives, which are our communities across the state supporting early care and education opportunities for families in their areas.
So Amanda, let me bring you into the conversation. As Nicole mentioned, this term HOPE, can you talk a little bit about that? Because it stands for Healthy Outcomes from Positive Experiences, but people may not be familiar with this term.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that children in some cases experience adverse, have adverse experiences. Mm-hmm. But what we're now learning about the science of hope is that we can actually wrap these children, all children, in positive experiences that will have longer lasting outcomes and will actually mitigate the effects of those adverse ones. This is really great news because this isn't just about parents. This is neighbors and librarians and coaches and doctors and, aunts and uncles, and that we can all create or have a part in creating these really positive experiences for children.
So Amanda, with that said, there are four building blocks of hope, and I was wanting to go through each one of these, beginning with relationships.
Yeah, so when we're talking about relationships, as I kind of mentioned, that can be beyond just parents. This is having, folks in your life that care about you. So again, this is neighbors, this is coaches. So people that take genuine interest in children outside of just their parents, that can be aunts, uncles, grandparents, all of those folks. So those nurturing relationships that matter in children's lives.
And then what is the next building block that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, so then the next one would be environment. So this is just having access to safe and equitable environments. So whether that be at home or in, school, in libraries, out in the community. So this is basic needs and the ability to access those safe spaces for young children.
And then you have engagement, right? That's one of the building blocks.
Yep, absolutely. So that can be both social and civic engagement. So really opportunities for children to belong. So, again, having, this might be faith-based, this might be mm-hmm. at school, again, libraries, places where children can feel like they matter and they're a part of, their community, have kind of a sense of belonging.
And then the final one, I believe, is called, I'm looking it up here, emotional growth. What is, how would you describe
it? Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about emotional growth, social and emotional growth, this comes mm-hmm. back to those basic skills of communication, managing feelings, having the ability to maintain relationships, communicate effectively in relationships. So just that, the social and emotional competency to be able to navigate, life's challenge and be resilient.
So, Amanda, I want to dig a little bit into this because, you know, for years we focused on ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, right? And mm-hmm. and how this impacts someone all the way through their lives into adulthood, impacts our communities, right? So when yeah. you look at hope, right, these healthy outcomes from positive experiences, is the research showing that even if you have, let's say, a number of ACEs, if you also have hope, are researchers finding that this is shifting outcomes for kids? Does that make sense?
Yes, and you're absolutely right. That's exactly what the science is showing us. So out of these studies, what we're finding is that even children with four or more adverse experiences, when also given opportunities to access these positive experiences, that long-term health outcomes are actually showing a decrease in depression, decrease in mental health struggles. And so the more children are exposed to those positive experiences, the less those adverse experiences actually can play a role. So while we know that children may have, you know, issue, you know, they may have be in mm-hmm. a family that struggles with addiction or divorce or mm-hmm. any, you know, abuse and neglect. What we're finding though is that if those children also have adults and nurturing relationships and safe spaces to go at school or libraries, if they have those other experiences that are positive, that those adverse experiences, the long-term effects are actually being reduced.
So maybe even if they're not seeing this, these healthy outcomes from positive experiences, these positive experiences, I should say, in, let's say, in their home environment, what I'm hearing from you is if these kiddos are finding these positive experiences and these safe spaces, even outside of the home, right? Even if it's for a few hours a day at school, maybe an hour at the library, but there are adults, right? Yes. who are safe places for them. We're starting to see better outcomes as these kiddos become adults.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I think it can be a really hopeful place to be, no pun intended, mm-hmm. because for a long time it felt like, you know, we can't be in the home of every child across the, mm-hmm. you know, across the state or across the country. What do we do? Well, now what we know is even outside of the home, we can create these opportunities to really wrap these children in these positive experiences.
So, Nicole, let me bring you back into our conversation because I'm curious about what your organization then is doing this month as we recognize National Child Abuse Prevention Month and maybe how folks within our community can maybe just get some more awareness about hope.
Absolutely. So last week was Week of the Young Child, which is celebrated across the nation through the National Association for the Education of Young Children, NACE. And so our communities across the state were celebrating different experiences and different activities that families, early education professionals, community members, our libraries can do with children in their community for free. And so Idaho AUIC has plenty of resources on our website that can support positive relationships and those healthy experiences that you can check out. They're on our website under our family resources page. Additionally, we're just bringing awareness to strengthening families and hope. I think it's a new program for Idaho. And the more that we can share about it and the more that we can talk about it, the better.
Well, I want to thank both of you for talking to us about this. We've been talking with Amanda Mills, the Strengthening Family Specialist with the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children, and Nicole Kreiner, the group's Marketing and Communication Director. I want to now bring into the conversation Roger Sherman. He is the Executive Director of the Idaho Children's Trust Fund, as well as Audra Green. She is a librarian and Hope Conquers ACEs trainer. So welcome both of you to the program as well.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Gemma.
So Roger, let me start with you. Can you explain to our listening audience what are protective factors and why are they important?
So it's like what was being discussed earlier around hope, is that protective factors protect against, you know, being overwhelmed with stress. They protect against the impacts of adverse childhood experiences, of the ACEs. And sometimes we focus so much on the ACEs and the trauma, we don't get around to thinking about what we can do to build the protective wrap around, you know, all children and families. And so the protective factors are similar to the hope in the sense that they're focused around strong relationships, social connections, parental resilience, basic needs or concrete supports. They focus on social emotional development and on all those areas that are, you know, again, very similar to what we're talking about in the hope training. Those two things fit together really well. But the idea is that in public health, we think about there are risk factors and protective factors. And we often focus so much on the risk factors and just trying to fix something that we don't focus on what we can do to really build the supportive relationships, the supportive environments around kids. And that's what the protective factors are all about.
So, Audra, how do libraries embed these protective factors into their programming?
Yeah, great question. I think a lot of ways we do it in kind of every facet of the library, whether it is a program where we're just kind of creating those spaces for positive experiences that Amanda and Roger have mentioned, but also embedded in some of our policies. A lot of what we do is looking at like increasing access and decreasing barriers that are in our community. So eliminating fines is another factor that might impact families, so that if we can not only look at all of those opportunities and listen to our community to create healthy programs, we also look at our policies to make sure that we can continue to be a trusted location. And I think it's, we're also in that unique way that we are in almost every community across Idaho. And so we can offer these opportunities.
So Audra, in what ways would you say that libraries help strengthen families so that they can have these positive experiences that we've talked about?
Yeah. So one way, you know, our programs are free. You don't have to have any membership. You can come in the door. And we are often, you know, birth to death. We have everything from baby time to help empower parents who are new to the experience and so that they can have that place. But also, you know, we serve a lot of aging seniors in the communities. And we want to make sure that the seniors and a lot of families have what they need as they are raising families across our community. And as we mentioned, a lot of it too is some of those, the more adult positive experiences you have, then the healthier a kid can become and kind of mitigate those adverse childhood experiences. We also do a lot of co-location because we are, you know, not everywhere can be everything to everyone. And so we work with a lot of community partners to help empower those parents. So if they are maybe in a community where they start off using the library by simply just checking out materials and we're great resources, but when they get to that point where they are facing housing issues or food insecurity, or they don't even know where to begin, we have now built that trusted relationship and they come to us and start asking us questions and we can help connect them to the resources that they need to be a strong family.
You know, Audra, I think back to when I was a brand new mom almost 16 years ago and how often I went to the library with my baby at the time. Who is now almost 16 and 6 foot two. So, I mean, you know, things change, but things change, but having that connection of that baby and toddler story time once a week, it was a lifeline. And I have a lot of resources, you know, at my disposal, so much more than so many people, but are those even the kind of things you're talking about? I mean, it really was just almost being there and seeing like other parents who were as frazzled as I was, right?
Yeah, social infrastructure, I think, is a big thing that I think about a lot, and having those connections to even know where to begin and kind of creating those safe and welcoming spaces where you don't have to pay and where you don't have to be a member and no one really knows your background and you are there with the focus, you know, on your kids or just accessing materials and meeting other parents and learning your community. I know I'm the kind of person that's moved around a lot and the library card is the first thing I get. And those programs are the first places I go. And that's how I start to really see what the community has to offer.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today as we talk just really more in depth about hope and how we as a community can make sure that we do our part in strengthening children as they navigate all of this. So we've been talking with Executive Director of the Idaho Children's Trust Fund, Roger Sherman, as well as Audra Green. She is a librarian, as well as a Hope Conquers ACES trainer. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.